Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. Today, our guest is Ron Thurston, and we're going to be talking about his book, Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. Ron, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, David. I'm so happy to be here today.
No, we're happy to have you. You know, as an ex, what do they call that? Recovering retailer myself? Is that kind of how that works? Sound like recovering attorney. It's recovering retailer. I absolutely know, of course, the importance of retail. But, you know, a lot of people don't talk about retail a lot. Why is that? Why is this career kind of like the shunned career sometimes?
It really is. I've really thought about this because through like the hundreds of people I've hired, probably thousands that I've interviewed, it's actually a very common response to say, I completely fell into this by accident. And that conversation turns into, you know, the fact that they don't really speak about it proudly, working in retail, regardless of your role, because there's always this sense of like that it's kind of accidental and you might actually end up doing something else. So this, like, I want to fully commit to it. I want to own the fact that I have a great retail career and then speak about it. And what I have found even in my own experience with friends of, you know, when I have loved working in this business for so long, they say, you're the only person I know that loves their job this much. I'm like, yeah, because I have so much fun every day doing it. And that's not a common response from, you know, a group of friends sitting together about how much they love their work.
So for the audience who obviously doesn't know you, Ron, tell us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about, you know, why you are in the retail field, how you came into it. Let's get into some of the detail, as they say.
Yeah, I'd love to. So I grew up in Northern California in South Lake Tahoe with a family that did much of the early construction in the city. So my grandfather built the first firehouse, the first schools, the first grocery stores, kind of helped establish what at the time was a very small skiing community. And his business turned into being the primary construction company for all of Safeway stores on the West Coast. So he was building this big company and building grocery stores. And I started really being his kind of, you know, he was my mentor really of leadership. And I didn't really want to work in construction, but I knew that I wanted to lead great teams. So I started traveling with him, you know, similar to what you and I would have done, like visiting a store, he would visit construction sites. So I would watch him engage with the team and talk about their life and their skills and their career growth. And it really put an impression on me. So as I studied fashion design and I studied retail management because I knew I wanted to be in this industry somehow, but I didn't really know what I wanted to do. Did I want to be a buyer? Did I want to be in like planning and distribution? Did I want to work in retail? And so I chose fashion design to start, but quickly pivoted into the retail side. And after some short time with kind of a Macy's version of Macy's training program, ended up at Gap Kids. And this was early 90s. And just had this incredible like 10-year career with a brand that was really at its peak, who invested in training in me, who recognized my skills. And I was also very willing to say, hey, you want me to move to Texas? You want me to go work at Banana Republic for a couple of years? You want me to run Outlet? And in that, they really created a foundation of training that I really speak really positively about. And I think those of us that work in this business want to continue to recreate, because that's the foundation of growth that successful retailers have. And that pivoted me into other brands like Charlotte Russe, where I knew you, and helped start West Elm early, which for some Gap people, I ran Apple stores for a while. I helped launch early Tory Burch, and most recently running Intermix here, which is part of the Gap, again, family of brands, but now I'm back in the head of store role for them.
Well, you know, retail, as you said, is, I find, an underrated field. There's no question. You know, it's interesting, as you know, I come out of the retail world as well. Levi Strauss, and which was Designs Incorporated here on the East Coast. And then, of course, PacSun for 10 years, American Eagle, right? And even you go back into the drugstore days in the early beginnings for Rite Aid and a small company called Burt's Superdrug, Shaw Supermarkets. I mean, the gamut of retail operations and that. And what you do find is that people get a wide swath of everything that they learn, which is, you know, you find in most fields, people specialize. And in a lot of retail, you have to learn everything from personnel to marketing to operations, from a design to layout and to every aspect of it. And that's why I always find HR leaders, when they have a retailer in front of them, they don't always get like, yeah, so what do you do? Like, they don't really get that. And how do you kind of talk to an HR professional and say, hey, look, they're better than you might think because they have all this diverse background. What's your take on that?
You're exactly right. I think it's sometimes misinterpreted because there's not a specific college degree associated to it. And so the work comes in and the experience comes from working for great brands that have that great training, but it's also just being involved in doing the work and saying, I have maybe a smaller team, then I move to a higher volume store and I have a larger team, then I'm in a multi-brand role and I have an even wider team. So all of that experience just continues to build on itself and you become that much more of an expert over time. But I think often the conversation is lost on the fact that you're running a multi-million dollar business. And even stepping back and saying, you know, and I have today even dozens of million-dollar plus salespeople. And they, in and of themselves, you know, I have five people last year that sold more than $2 million up close. And you are your own company. And you have to be an expert in all of the HR components, all of product knowledge, visual merchandising, I mean, service alone, servicing clients to drive to that business. So it's really wide in skill set and not as celebrated and not as recognized, and that it's you really learning it on your own. It's often accidental, but also self-taught. And that there's such power in that conversation.
And of course, we're talking with Ron Thurston. He's the author of Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. I'm David Chulo, your host. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, educational HR radio. Ron, you know, it's interesting. I obviously had an opportunity to look through your book, and we're going to talk a lot about that in the second segment. But, you know, what made you sit down and say, I want to write a book? Because I got to tell you, I do a radio show, so I don't have to write a book. That's the key, okay?
I took it quite personally. I will tell you this. I had a moment when the buzzwords of retail apocalypse started hitting the news. When stores started to close and e-commerce started to grow, there was all this press that started to come out of that we're having a retail apocalypse. And I took that very personally and I said, that might be true. E-commerce is growing and that's still true. It might be true that there are brands that are run their life course for sure. And that malls business is changing, but this is not an apocalypse. And the people that work in this industry love this industry. And so I started writing a blog called Retail Fitness at the time because fitness is another just hobby of mine. But the fact that we need to be fit and prepared for what's going to happen to us next. Little did I know what 2020 would bring. But the idea of we have to continue to work together and speak about the importance of brick and mortar retail. And so I last year just said, you know what? I have a lot to say. I have a lot of experience. I have a lot of people who appreciate kind of my point of view. I'm going to put this in writing and did spend every morning I have a full-time career. I spent time every morning putting words down on paper that ultimately became this book. And in the book is also written for a wide variety of people. This is not a book about changing the retail landscape. This is for people who work in stores. And that was an important component to me because they don't really have a resource. They don't have a book that makes them feel good about the career that they have. And that was important because that's the biggest audience and it's the most impressionable audience.
Well, you mentioned they don't have a book, and this I suspect is why the word pride came in, right? That mm-hmm. that focus on themselves, that hey, it's okay, and from reading the book, that would imply that yes, it may have been accidental, but embrace it, right?
Right, exactly right, and to say that it's that this is okay, and the skills that you're developing. Maybe this isn't a long-term career for you, totally fine, but use the opportunity to learn and grow your skill set and to build your network, build connections, work on the components of the business, because there also might be organizations, and I'll just use Gap Inc. because I work here, that you end up in the corporate office, that you work, maybe you studied buying, you went to fashion school, you wanted to be a buyer, you started out in retail and you become obsessed with the product and you end up on the buying team. Almost everyone here on my store operations team came from stores. And so it's not always just a store career. And to think of it, maybe it's a stepping stone to a corporate role. Maybe you wanted to actually work in finance. So the wide variety of careers, the wide opportunities of different kinds of product categories, all of that really is, I think, not always just recognized for that hard work, unless you've done it. And then you put a bunch of retail people in a room together and we can talk all day about this. But it's a bit of a mystery to the general population.
Yeah, I think that's right. You know, it's interesting. I understand because I did retail for 25 years. And the mystery is really that all the public sees is you walk in a store, it's typically beautiful or typically looks great. And you have hopefully someone friendly or not, right? Yep. In terms of you walk in and somebody is there in some of their minds to serve them, right? And or help them find what they're looking for. And that is a huge piece of what retail is. There's no question about it. But there's so much more that goes behind that. Years of preparation for product line design, shipping, manufacturing, distribution, making sure product gets there on time and it logistics. It is a huge, not to mention, of course, banking, finance, strategic operations, planning, succession. It's a huge project.
Huge, huge. And that's where the actually just talking about it and recognizing the fact that of all the work that it takes to get that shirt to that table in that store when you found it is extraordinary. And we do make just assumptions. And I would probably say the same thing about a restaurant or a great hotel. There's a lot that goes on behind the scenes. An amusement park, I mean, you name it. But I think retail doesn't always have that recognition of the work that it took to make that happen. And I think the different kinds of business in our industry, from kind of the highest end of luxury through grocery and pharmacy and furniture and all the different businesses, there's also a great way to pivot between those to grow your skill set and grow your connection base.
Well, I think that is also, you find that there is a camaraderie, mm-hmm. even if it is across the country or in some cases across the globe. Yeah. You know, I have seen, when they get together when we could get together through conferences or events, there is a lot of excitement about talking about what's going to happen next and that excitement internally that people get for making that happen. We're talking with Ron Thurston. He's the author of Retail Pride, the guide to celebrating your accidental career. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobsandme.com has been matching Maine employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their QuickPost product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on JobsandME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
At over 150 years old, Verrill has an illustrious history with more than seven generations of legal expertise. With more than 130 attorneys across seven offices from Maine to Washington, D.C., Verrill serves clients across the country and around the world. HR professionals, business leaders, and in-house counsel count on Verrill as one of the premier labor and employment law practices in the Northeast. Contact Verrill at verrill-law.com. That's verrill-law.com.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAKorea.com and Verrill-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, HR Educational Radio. Our guest today is Ron Thurston. Retail Pride is his book, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. We're talking about retail today because it is at times the unsung hero that is out there, and HR sometimes has a hard time putting their finger on how to hire it, what to do with it, and to remind people in the retail world that, hey, you have done a lot and you are very valuable in the operation and in the businesses today. You know, Ron, in the first segment, we kind of talked a little bit about why you wrote the book, who it's for, and so forth. You know, I guess when we're thinking about the book itself, you have a section here that talks about going green. Tell me a little about that, because when I think about retail, sometimes I think of green, sometimes I think of 1 million boxes and plastic wrap and all those things that happen. Yeah. So explain that.
Sure. So I had kind of coined this phrase of the idea that when you're in retail, your results are really your scorecard always. You may have done all the hard work behind the scenes, but the further you get up in the chain, your sales over last year and likely profitability margin, you know, the different statistics we use to monitor our business, you're really only as good as the report that prints out. And so I had to come to this realization of, okay, if no one really understands my work, I want to look good on paper too. And I want my team to look good on paper. And that often positive results are celebrated as green. You say, if you're green, meaning you've achieved your goal, you're above last year, whatever the metric is, I'm green to my goal. I'm yellow to my goal if I'm slightly below. I'm red if I'm really off my goal. And so I kind of coined this phrase of, we're going to go green, whatever that looks like in your results, and say, and report out on it, talk about it, celebrate it. And, you know, I have even a framed t-shirt here in my office that says like hashtag go green, like that. I have often created this celebratory idea that going green means I've made my goal, or like hashtags with it. I've seen stock rooms painted with it. I've gone to conferences with it. And it's really simple, but the idea is we're going green in results. Where I think that has translated then to your point of, we also have to be much more responsible about the earth in retail. And retail does have a big potentially negative impact. And so how do we use less plastic, less single use plastic hangers, less shipping and receiving? And there's a lot of work we're doing here to help reduce that impact on the environment. But in the context of the book, it was really about how do you find ways that are easily replicatable that anyone on a team would know. If you say, we're going to go green today, every single person on the team, stock, part-time stock to general manager, everyone would knew that means we're going to make our goal today. And that sounds simple.
Question. Going green, you're talking about the good old-fashioned money green, right?
That good old-fashioned money green, yes.
Yes, exactly. And that makes a lot of sense. And I remember, gosh, you know, back, do I have to acknowledge this, when I had the BlackBerry. Remember the BlackBerry?
Of course.
Right. And I remember at AE, we used to get the hourly BlackBerry report, and it would be every store's numbers every hour, right? And as the manager, you'd pick up the phone, and every hour you'd call the top two, and you'd call the bottom two, right? And you'd have the conversation. Awesome. Great job. Okay. What the heck, right? What's going on over there? And hourly, you would just, because it is always about, you know, and this is an old retail saying, what have you done for it lately? What's the great hour, great day, great week. How about next week? How about next hour? How about next day? And that's life, isn't it? It is the forward thinking thought of there's always another hour. There's always another day. There's always another week. Heck, there's always another year as we look at 2020, right?
Yep. Agreed. And that's, I actually find that really exciting. And to say, okay, we had a tough day. Things were going on, but we have tomorrow. We don't know who's going to walk in the door tomorrow. We don't know who that client is. And similarly, you know, weather or someone calls out for their shift, like all those different things also negatively impact it. But great retail, I'll just say leaders, but I would really say everyone, understands the value of treating each day with like that energy and that drive and that willingness to win and that commitment to team, because that's how you make it happen. Whether it's from front of house to back of house to cashier to all of it, there's a commitment to win that is sometimes very unique. I do apply often kind of retail to sports, and I'm not an expert in sports, but when I watch those often movies or you read books about winning sports teams, there's so much that translates into this business. And I love that about it. Or they get a new coach and all of a sudden that team starts to win, or that coach doesn't bring that team to the finish line. I think it's human behavior, but I just apply it to this business because there's so much similarity.
In the book, you talk about the three pillars of retail. Let's talk about that a little bit, right? So three pillars are?
Yeah, so empathy is the first one, and curiosity is the second, and focus is the third. And while those may seem like very overused words, they very much apply to this business, and that empathy in how we engage with each other, particularly this year. And empathy was for me a pillar well before 2020, but this year, the first thing you have to do is check in and say, how are you doing today? How are you? How is your client? How are you? How is your family? Like, how are you first? So if you feel like, okay, we've established that level of connection, but everyone around you is having an experience this year that is unique to them. And empathy in how we lead, how we engage, how we connect with clients is for me foundational, no matter what. And curiosity is where you learn and grow. You ask great questions. You learn, you're curious about the product. You're curious about the history of the brand you work for. You're curious about what your clients need. You continue to learn and grow. And that's foundational for anyone that works in retail, because there's so many parts of it, as we discussed earlier. And the more you know, the better you can be. And focus is, there are things coming at you every day. There's the back doors ringing and there's 100 boxes coming in. There's all of a sudden, way more traffic than you expected to be coming in the front. There's, I had a store, today that all of a sudden, had a gas leak in the middle of the day. Then I got a phone call like that. Every day something happens. And so your ability to then, okay, what do I need to accomplish? How am I going to go green? What's my goal? What do I need to accomplish? How am I going to get there? And how am I going to stay focused to get it done? And that's not just managerial. That applies to all. And those pillars, I think, can apply to a lot of different industries, but I specifically wanted to use those because I think they're easy to digest for anyone that's working on a team.
We're talking with Ron Thurston, book is Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, HR Educational Radio. Ron, you know, it's interesting. I fully agree. All three pillars make so much sense in any industry, to be honest with you. There's no question about that. And that's probably one of the lessons that, you know, I got from your book is that there's so much correlation to what retail professionals and leaders do to so many other industries, to so many other fields. And while it may, you know, may be that they work at, quote unquote, the mall, not the glass tower down in the middle of the city, or maybe they do, it's one of the things that they have to realize, that pride that you talk about, because the culture matters, right? The culture they're creating is typically one of higher energy, getting a lot done with very little, you know, understanding the people dynamics of what's happening, dealing with the financial situation that they're dealing with in terms of that day, that week, that month, and dealing with the uniqueness of constant change. I mean, I don't know if there's any HR professional listening today who wouldn't say, I would love somebody who could deal with constant change. And that's what they deal with, isn't it?
They do, and from every different angle. And, you know, as someone who spent the majority of my career in the store and now spend more time in the office than I would like to, I see it. I see that the office dynamic is very different than the store. And I'm always like, I am the guy that's here on the floor, you know, that, oh, I love your energy. I love your drive. You know, that you're always saying yes to things. You're so fun to work with. I'm like, that's because I came from stores. That's what we do. I didn't grow up in the office. And I think that that is an approach that we take. You're right. Of like, okay, that's fine. I can handle that. Like, let's fix it. Oh, no problem. You know, you want to turn that on. You want to do this. You want to change this. No problem. Like, we'll make it happen. That is a very, I think, unique I think kind of common. It's a common trait that retail people have. And it's, you see them celebrating, you see them on LinkedIn and their pictures and they're celebrating. That's what that is they're winning.
There's been phrases that certainly have come out in the last number of years. It was hot topics of servant leadership, right? Mm-hmm. Well, retail's been servant leadership for as long as I can recall from the beginning. You had to serve the customer, you had to serve the employee, you had to serve the vendor, you had to serve the client, you have to serve the corporation, you have to serve the register, you have to serve the It's servant leadership at its best, if you ask me.
100% agree. And I do find those books a bit kind of comical in that way, because it does seem like common knowledge. But then when I thought about putting the work in to write a book and put it out, I really did think, well, what are the books that people that work in stores are reading? Like, is there something that's really for them? That's in a language that they understand in kind of this common work that we do. And there really wasn't one. So you're right. I thought about books like that and, you know, going all the way back to like One Minute Manager and all these, like who moved my cheese, all these classics, and they're fine. But I said, if I were young and working in a store in the mall, what am I reading? That's about retail. It's not those books. And that for me was an important, that is how we will move this industry forward after a really tough year and tough several years, to be honest. We have to move the energy and change the conversation.
You know, it's interesting. You talk about leadership at the store levels. I would agree with you that it's probably never been more important than today in the COVID era, right? Yeah. Can you talk a little about the lessons from your career as you think about the book, which really are the foundations of leadership? And what we're going to do is we're going to have you tell a quick story. We'll go to break and come back with another one.
Okay, great. I go back to where I started this conversation about my grandfather, and that the leadership is about human connection. Leadership is, let me understand where you are. Let me explain what we need to accomplish together. What do we want to do? Where do you want to go? And let me help you do that. Or it's providing opportunities to be grateful and to be thankful for the work that they're doing and how they're doing it. And so the stories are for me about listening and learning and sharing often my gratitude for the work that they're doing.
You know, it's very true. I think when I think about all the people that worked with me way back when, it wasn't really that long ago. We don't have to acknowledge age on here, correct?
Okay,
but we're not going to acknowledge age. But when I think, you know, and when you covered 6 states, 800 employees, you know, 1,000 people, and you realize that when you walk in and you have these conversations with them, that they are really the salt of the earth. They are connected directly to the community. And they are, you know, in some ways, exactly what the community is made up of, the diverse group that is part of today's community in wherever today's mall or outlet center might be, or downtown or wherever it may be. It's not a city necessarily. It can be a local, you know, a local place. And I think that's just such a critical piece of the puzzle when you're talking about retail. And we're going to come back to that when we come back. And you're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back.
In today's highly regulated climate, customized HR solutions are needed more than ever. Career Management Associates can partner with your existing HR department for projects or even serve as your outsourced HR team. From compliance and compensation to investigations and employee relations, CMA provides you trusted HR solutions. Call 207-780-1125 or visit cmacareer.com.
You don't know where to go.
Take it to Moody's.
You want to get on with your life, get on with the show.
Take it to Moody's.
Good people you can trust,
and it won't be a fuss. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
M-O-O-D-Y. Your kid was talking on the cell phone, drove right through your own home. Sitting in the parking lot, maybe you get hit a lot. Driving through the green light, suddenly your side swipe. Put it in reverse, but it turned out that it was first.
Take it to Moody's. Take it to Moody's. Collision Centers.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
And you're listening to the HR Power Hour presented by CMAcareer.com and Beryl-Law.com. I'm your host, David Chulo, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, HR Educational Radio. Today, our guest has been and continues to be Ron Thurston. He's the author of Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. Rob's book, we're going to talk about at the end of the segment where you can get it, but I'll tell you right now, I'm sure it's on Amazon. It's one of those books that there's no question, if you're a retailer, you need to read it. Take it from a recovering retailer like myself. You know, we talked about in the last segment, Ron, a little bit of the story of your grandfather and what you learned from it and so forth. Let's move it up to modern times here today. Yeah. Any fun story about where you saw the success of the culture of a retail store and where it made a huge difference that the manager brought that forth?
I would reference, if you want to be really current, what we have experienced from a retail industry this year put us all to the test when it came to leadership and HR. And I will likely never forget the moment when I had to put 400 people on Zoom and put them on furlough. Like that for me, I took that so personally. And I was the only one left. And my commitment to them is, I'm going to do everything in my power to get you back to work, to get your store back open and to get you back to work. And it was my primary purpose every day. But what I discovered in there about leadership is that they trusted me to do that. They said, okay, Ron, you're making that commitment to us. We're going to make that commitment to you, and we're going to wait patiently if we need to. And it was about 6 weeks of furlough before we started getting stores back open again. But to have that responsibility as a leader, but the culture that I believe that we created was one of transparency and trust. And to say, okay, this is the situation. This is the financial situation we're in. We are, in order for us to survive, this is what we need to do. But I think companies or retailers that weren't always honest about what was happening or kept a lot of secrets, their teams didn't always stay. And they said, you know, I'm not sure what's going to go on here, so I'm going to go find something else. I didn't lose anyone. We reopened every store and brought 100% of people back. Now, there are brands that paid everyone during store closure. We didn't have that opportunity. But that, as a leader, that trust, transparency, continue like high levels of communication when things are hard is a leadership skill that I think you don't always know how important that is until you're put to that test.
Yeah. You're right. I go back to when, 9/11, right? And I remember it well where I was when we started closing all the stores on that day and people were scared. People were, panicked, and different type of fear, right? A different type of fear, but similar, right? In terms of the fear factor, and that leadership does come forth then, and you're really tested when you don't know what's going to happen. It's one thing when you can write your scripts, when you can have your preparation calls, when you get ready to go, and as you do for a kickoff meeting or something where it's all exciting and going. But it's different when it's suddenly the call right then, you must do this now and you must change it. But to your point of what we talked about earlier, I do think the retail side understands change the best out of many industries. Yeah. And I think from that standpoint, that is the culture of success, is that we can adapt, we can change. Yep. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would agree. And I would, in the evolution of the way we lead has to be that much more connected. And I think that that's one of the things I've also learned, is that kind of younger generations of retail employees, where this is often first job, second job, are watching people like me that have been doing this for a long time of how we do that. They're paying, it isn't just, I'm not just following along because Ron said so. Actually, I think they're quite curious and they're actually much more willing to ask direct questions or reach out than I've ever experienced before. And I love it. And so I often will visit a market, or I was doing it more earlier, and say, okay, I want to have a breakfast meeting, but I don't want any managers there. I want to hear from everyone that has a non-management role, and tell me what you love about working here and what you don't. Tell me how I can help you. And they're more engaged in the business. So our leadership has to evolve with that and connect in different ways and be on Instagram with them. And you know, I think about what they say when they go home to their parents, like what they say, well, who's this Ron guy? Or how was work today? You know, what do they say? And I do take a lot of responsibility in that.
As every leader should, to be honest with you. You know, I think that's the important part of this conversation. It's not just retail, even though we're certainly focused on that today. And I know we both have certainly plenty of stories that talk about, you know, the success of great store managers who have made huge impacts on their team. And, you know, there's nothing better than watching somebody start as a part-time clerk and end up being a store manager and then be, you know, promoted to district manager and then work their way up into the corporate world. There is pride in that, right? In making sure that they and the energy it takes to make that successful jump.
Yeah. And to develop the skill to identify in someone else, to pay that forward. And, you know, and working today in luxury in the commission sales world, you can take someone from cashier in potentially $15 an hour, put them on the sales floor, and they can sell $1 million with the right personality. I don't think it actually takes a book of luxury clients and all of this like training. I think great personality, you can drop them in the right environment and they can make more money than they've ever made before. And I think our job sometimes is to take the smart risk and put that person on the floor and say, okay, let's see what you can do. And that for me is, I've had that happen to me on numerous occasions. And then they're making more money than they ever have before. You've changed their life. You made a decision to put them on the floor to sell. You changed their life. That is power in leadership.
There's no question. There's, you know, in the book, of course, we've been talking about people who have their accidental careers in retail. I think it's an important part because you also have some great personal testimonies from store managers, buyers, just people working in the industry who, of course, never intended to work in retail. Yeah. So tell me a little bit about that, how you had those conversations and maybe what you learned from it.
So what I learned from it as I collected, so I'd actually, when I started to make it well known that I was going to do this, I just started collecting quotes of like, what's your favorite part? Was this accidental for you? What was your toughest day in this business? And the amount of data that I collected pretty quickly, there's really enough for like 5 more books. There's so much like feedback. But what I discovered is that people are really proud to work in this industry and they don't have a forum to express that. And to be able to say, hey, I'm writing a book about our love, our common shared love of retail. What would you say? And their responses were very consistent and very engaging. And I've had brand new leaders that, give me quotes. I had a gentleman who was at JCPenney for 50 years, who recently retired, who also gave me feedback. And like, so these, that there is... It's like, it's not generational. It's not about a particular brand. There's a very common love of it. And that's what I discovered most of A, how easy it was, and B, how consistent it was too. And all everyone's tough days, I actually left all that out because it didn't, it's pretty dark sometimes. It's not always fun. It's as energetic as I am about it, there's tough days. I've had them too. But there are common kind of joy about this really surprised me and motivated me to do even more work.
You also talked about if leaders want to hire the right people and nurture those happy accidents, people who are there, how can they approach hiring and staffing differently? Because I think that's a big piece of all HR, trying to make sure they have the right people. I don't care what industry that works for them.
Yep. I always start with just kind of tell me your story. I'm less interested in exactly what you did. How long were you there? What was your area of responsibility? Of like, just tell me your story. And some people can do that well, and some people look at you blankly. And so, let's just start with school. Like, where are you from? And I think the mistake that is made is not taking that risk, not listening without like the list of questions or the competencies you're looking for, that they are digging deeper into what really motivates this person, when were they successful, what kind of work was best suited for them, like what product are they best at engaging with, all of those questions. But often it's not just from a resume. It's like, let's just talk. Let's figure out each other. And what can I do to make this a great place for you to work? But what are you going to bring to the culture of the company? And I do say that.
Yeah, often. You know, I talk a lot about you hire the personality, not the skill set. Because you can't change personality. You can teach skills, but you really, it's very hard to change somebody's internal personality and how they project upon it. You know, we're talking with Ron Thurston. His book, Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on Newstalk WLOB 100.5 FM, and we will be right back.
Founded in 1958, Jackson Lewis is a national law firm with a local presence. The firm's 765 attorneys practicing in 54 locations throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico provide a wide range of resources to address every aspect of the employer-employee relationship. HR professionals, business and in-house counsels, and C-suite professionals count on Jackson Lewis as it has one of the most active employee litigation practices in the United States. Contact them today at jacksonlewis.com. That's jacksonlewis.com.
Man, do I love card night. You ready, boys? You got a king?
Go fish that!
Oh, come on! This is WWE superstar Titus O'Neil. The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Are you looking to hire? Stop wasting time. Jobs in ME.com has been matching main employers to job seekers since 1999. Job postings start at only $159 with their Quick Post product. Your employment ad can be distributed to over 75 job boards for maximum exposure. When it comes to recruiting locally, you can count on Jobs and ME to connect you with qualified candidates in this area. Visit jobsandme.com. That's jobsandme.com today. Stop searching and start hiring locally.
And we're back, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour, presented by CMAcareer.com and Verrill-Law.com. Today, our guest is Ron Thurston, author of the book Retail Pride, The Guide to Celebrating Your Accidental Career. I'm your host, David Chulo. You're listening to the HR Power Hour, HR Educational Radio. Ron, as we wrap up the show today, first, I got to tell you, I think it's a great book, and I really appreciate that you wrote it. As a former retail guy, I found that it was engaging, it was accurate, and it was fun. And so I think you've achieved what I call something that is a really good read, right? In terms of
thank you. Thank you.
As you focus on 2021, any final thoughts or advice for store associates or management out there?
So be patient, be empathetic, be thoughtful, be engaging, and don't lose your drive to succeed. This has been a very tough year financially for everyone. And your business might be suffering and your company might be asking even more of you with less, which is not uncommon. But to continue to ask for what you need and to keep your energy high, which is a lot to ask of people, but it's true, is that, and ask for what you need from your company in order to be successful. So I'll give you an example. Because I'm not really getting on a plane and I have stores all over the country, I'm on Zoom all day long with stores. I did it this morning with the store in Malibu, California, and who took me on Zoom, walked me through the store. I met their team. I gave them a motivational morning meeting, and the 45 minutes into it, you know, they're ready to have a good weekend. And so I think we have to learn how to work differently, but from the store, ask for what you need to make that happen. And because we're not seeing you in person as much anymore, and your customer might be going through something, to be patient with your customer too.
Yeah. You know, I think the other thing that's really interesting there is patience. Mm-hmm. And that is probably the biggest word of the year, right? Patience for everyone. for everything that we deal with. I obviously I want to make sure people know where to get your book. Where can people find more information about you and purchase the book?
Yeah, so go to retailpride.com. So on there, you'll have links to the Amazon. So you can certainly find it, Retail Pride on Amazon. But there's also a link on the site for discounted bulk purchase. Because what I also think is important is that your district manager, regional manager, head of stores, head of HR, this is a book that your field teams would love. And so the publisher actually has a discounted quantities available, hardcover and paperback. And then other just press things and some things might be happening next year. So go to retailpride.com.
Sure. Retailpride.com. I think people can remember that. Ron, what do you want somebody to take away from your book? If there's one thing when they read your book, as we wrap up the show here today, what is the one thing you want to make sure they take away?
I want them to feel the most proud they've ever felt about a career that they didn't intend to have. And that is something that is so powerful when you make this personal commitment to going from accidental to intentional and then own your experience from there. Own the brand you work for, ask for what you need, build your career, network your ass off, like really like own your career. And this idea of being proud of it means you own it, means you will make it the best possible version and pay it forward. Like tell someone else how much you love it.
And that's how you end the book. It says, my greatest wish is that this book has made a positive impact on you. Now pay it forward.
Yeah, right? I really believe that.
Yeah, I can tell you do. Ron, it has been an absolute pleasure to have you as a guest today on my show.
Thank you so much, David. It was a pleasure.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour. Of course, you can hear this on hrpowerhour.com. Right after the show, go and see and click on the link where you can buy Ron's book, as well as see more information on Ron himself. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk, WLOB 100.5 FM. We'll be right back with the HR Tip of the Week.
And now, your HR Tip of the Week. Your HR Tip of the Week is being sponsored by Verrill.
Hi, this is Tani Alvarez from Verrill. Let's talk about wage and hour laws. The laws governing hours of work and payment of wages have become a leading source of employee claims. Many HR professionals are very familiar with federal compensation laws and the laws of the state where the company's main office is located. But the company may have satellite offices or individual employees in different states and cities that have stricter laws. For example, an employee who would be exempt from the requirements to pay overtime in the state where the company is based may be entitled to overtime pay under the laws of the state where he or she works. This is especially important to remember at a time in which so many individuals are working remotely. For more questions regarding things you should know regarding state, local, and federal wage and hour laws, contact a member of Verrill's Labor and Employment Department to discuss further.
And that's your HR Tip of the Week, sponsored by Verrill. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and catch us every week at 10 a.m. on News Talk WLOB 100.5 FM or 1310 a.m. and streaming live at WLOBradio.com. Podcasts of this show and every show are available at HRPowerHour.com. Have a great week, everyone, and remember, HR management is critical to your business's success.